There is a 90-something-year-old parishioner that I visit every so often, and she takes Lent rather seriously. And I went to visit her the other day, and she winked at me and she said, "I'm giving you up for Lent." I have no idea what she meant. I did not ask. But this is one of those rare times when I did not have a comeback. And I told her that I was going to tell on her to the entire parish. And she smiled at me and she said, what does she have to lose? It's like, listen, humor aside, I think the little story highlights the obsession with giving up for Lent. The moment Lent comes, the question people ask is, "Oh, what are you giving up?" And I've almost come to detest that question. Because Lent becomes all about giving up, when Lent is so much more about embracing. Sometimes the very thing that is integral to the Lenten spirit is also the cause of its demeaning. I think equating Lent with merely giving up, I think, kills the spirit of Lent. To make Lent meaningful, we have to enter the wilderness with Jesus. After all, the 40 days of Lent mirror the 40 days of Jesus in the desert. Now, Mark's account that we have in today's gospel reading is the shortest account of Jesus's temptations in the desert. But even though it's the shortest, it has plenty for us to chew on. And I'm proposing three things that can make our Lent meaningful and make it more than just giving up some things or some stuff. So, here's my first point. There is a big difference between Mark's account of Jesus in the desert and Matthew and Luke's account of the temptations. Mark, if you notice, gives us no detail about Jesus in the desert, except that he was in there and he was tempted. How many temptations, what the temptations were, Mark gives us no details about that story. Mark only tells us what happened before Jesus went into the desert and what happened after he came out of the desert. Before he entered the desert, Mark tells us that Jesus was baptized and a voice from heaven affirmed his identity, saying, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." After the desert, Jesus comes out preaching and beginning his ministry, and his very first words are, "The time of fulfillment has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So, Jesus' mission is revealed after the desert. Now, this is how, folks, I read it. The desert connects Jesus' identity and his mission. See, Mark's focus is on that. He's not focusing what happened in the desert. Before the desert, Jesus is affirmed of who he is. He is the Son of God. That is his identity. And from that identity flows his mission to inaugurate God's kingdom here on earth. So Mark then is not focusing on the temptations or on the giving up. That's not his focal point. His focus is on who Jesus is and what he's going to accomplish. This has a lesson for us. Here's the practical implication for us. If we take our 40 days with Jesus in the desert then we have to go deeper than merely giving up stuff for Lent. Our focus must be on our identity and our mission. Who am I? At this point in time and history, this point of my life, who am I? How is my life contributing to the work of God's kingdom? These are the real questions that Lent should lead us to reflect on. Here's my second point. All the three accounts of Jesus' 40 days in the desert tell us that it was the Spirit that led him into the desert. Mark, and only Mark, expresses this a little differently. Mark says that the Spirit drove Jesus into the desert. Matthew and Mark say that the Spirit led him into the desert. Now this word drove out is very interesting. It's the same expression that is used when Jesus drove out demons. The same expression. There's an element of coercion. There's an element of force. There is an element of compulsion, as if the Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the desert. In this way, Mark underscores the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit in Jesus' life. The same Spirit that descended upon Jesus at baptism, which Mark makes a reference to, now drives him into the wilderness. So this shows us the docility of Jesus, the humility of Jesus, his submission to God's will, his willingness to grapple with his identity and his mission. Jesus is so humble that he allows the Spirit to drive him into the desert. Jesus was totally available to the Spirit. Do you hear me? Jesus was totally, totally available to the Spirit. What does that mean for us? Here's the practical implication. It means that we allow the Spirit we received at our baptism to drive us. So during Lent, I guess the question we are asking ourselves is, am I totally available to the Spirit like Jesus was? As Lent was coming, did we ask ourselves the question, what is the Spirit driving me to? Or have I decided today I'm going to give up chocolate, I'm going to give up beer, I'm going to give up coffee? But really, what is the Spirit? What is the Spirit driving us to? Can I imitate the humility and the docility of Jesus? My third point. In the desert, though, we know through the other accounts of Jesus in the wilderness that Jesus did give up. He resisted. But the resistance was for the sake of an embracing. Jesus did not resist temptation for the sake of resisting temptation. While he was giving up stuff, he was also embracing. He rejects those values that are not part of the kingdom of God. So, undue focus on lust and pleasures, illegitimate use of lust and pleasures. The temptation to power, the temptation to fame and glory, he sets that aside. The Spirit led him to. He sets all that aside. For what? For the sake of the kingdom. And so in the desert, not only does he reject, but he also embraces. He embraces the kingdom of God. And so he preaches to his disciples about a rejection and an embracing. What does he say? He says, repent and believe. Repentance is the rejection. Those values that are not part of the kingdom, we reject. And embracing the values of the kingdom, those values that belong to God's kingdom, we embrace. And so Lent becomes this beautiful exchange, as it were, that we take away from us that which is not God's, and then we embrace that which are. Now, in our parish this year, the theme revolves around the kingdom of God. Our focus is living heaven on earth, extending God's kingdom here on earth, as Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So here's the practical implication, folks, of this. I think Lent is a time for us to repent, that is, giving up. Repent of our prejudices, of our hatreds, repent of our lack of charity and our lack of mercy, repent of our unforgiveness, of our complacency, that we reject these. But then we believe, we embrace. What do we embrace? We embrace love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the values of the kingdom of God. And we pray this at every Mass this year. May we extend your kingdom, dear God, by bringing about the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control that is so part of your kingdom. Now, we look at it this way, Lent becomes so much more meaningful, isn't it? It becomes so much more important, more meaningful than just giving up cookies for Lent or chocolate. If at every Lent our identity and our mission does not become clearer like it did for Jesus, then we have wasted Lent. We have wasted it. So let us pray that this Lent we will become a little more aware of who God is calling us to be, our identity, and what God is calling us to accomplish, our mission. Every Eucharist is a living of God's kingdom here on earth. Really, every Mass is the closest we get to heaven on earth. May our participation in the Eucharist help us to be totally open to the Spirit and to the work of God's kingdom in our lives. People of God said.